So Raj is asking about these. They were discussing the mind from the intellectual point of view, how it's seeing all the different things, but then also then from the aspect of the relationships or rasa, you know, how does that transform? How does that progress? Because we see in the spiritual world there's so many levels, you know, Vaikuntha, Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan. So we're taking the intellectual through to Krishna. Does that rasa, how does that work? Because the process of the mind in the material world is working technically the same as in the spiritual world. The difference is what is the absorption of the consciousness. So, and so there's a doubt whether also it would be, you know, appropriate, because we're discussing this intellectual aspect of the mind. I mean, the intellectual aspect of viewing the mind. The ras means technically is that there's no difference between your tattva and your rasa. Your tattva is simply explaining what is there in the way of rasa. Because if it's only pure tattva, no rasa, that's actually before our manifestation. Like that. We exist, but we're existing within Krishna, who has not expanded the creation. And it was Atmarama, Krishna, and he is self-satisfied. He is complete in himself. So that includes all things. But to expand that pleasure, then you expand rasa. So tattva is simply defining what are the positions of, at least for us, what are the positions of everything in relationship to each other, and therefore what is the rasa that they have. What is the process through they go through that express that rasa, and what experience they get from that expression. So that's why, in one sense, there's no difference in the definition of one and the other. It's just a matter of whether you're, bringing out the process more, or the experience more, or the position more. But otherwise, for us, it's the same topic. This Vastu Traya, this Sambandhavideya Prayojana. So, the whole people are not, I mean, one gets, when they say, well, I was going to say, no one is inspired just by tattva, they're inspired by rasa. Someone may say, no, but I'm very intellectual, or I know someone is very intellectual, and the more technical it gets, the more in ecstasy they are. But the point is they're getting a taste from discussing that tattva. So the whole thing is everything is based on taste. Krishna can be Atmarama, where the taste is basically just neutral, it's just the existence. But the living entities can't function on that. They can only function where there's rasa, where there's taste. So that's the difficulty, is that in Krishna consciousness, then the taste is Krishna. The field of contemplation is Krishna. There may be other things there, and who cares? But somehow or another, we've become absorbed in the material, and we're getting our taste there. So that's why then that taste is being controlled or restricted, with the idea of redirecting it. Not stopping taste, but redirecting taste. This is a impersonal mistake that can be made, is that, okay, we're not into sense gratification, we're not into being all sentimental, therefore we're not into rasa. And then this makes for a very dry social system. So rasa will be tasted, actually, or experienced, you know, in its fullness from the platform of dharma. So our whole impersonal approach, even to religion, then restricts the dharma. So then we think dharma is maya, because dharma gives emotional response, emotional taste. And then from that comes the artha and kama. So kama is a rasa, that we don't then throw out. Dharma, you know, will give a rasa, that we throw out. And the spiritual we haven't attained to. But the tendency is also is that it's not like here, it's something different. We imagine something you know, that's not real, it's, you know, how you say, speculative. So technically what we do is we've negated rasa from our life. And so what is left for us? That leaves us the two stations in between the three rasas. So in between sensual and emotional, then you have the platform of, economics, justice, and, you know, ethics or morality, right? Very popular. And emotions and devotion, then we have liberation. So all the focus goes on to those two. And we try to make a culture or a social structure out of that. But there's nothing, there is no rasa there. There's a little bit of taste, but there's substandard tastes. You're dealing with transcendence, liberation is not really a taste. If you're dealing with rasa, it's also not a taste, it's a state of existence. And how much taste can you get out of art, justice, economics, and others? Because you get it, you work with it, but what's the result of it? I'd established justice. Now what are you going to do? What will you do now that justice has been established? I'm successful economically. What are you going to do with that facility? Right? I'm very moral. I'm very upstanding. Okay, well, how are you going to relate to others? What are you going to do with that? So the only place to apply it is in rasa. But we've already negated rasa. Because of the ideas that something that has worked here, then there must be something different. Spiritual must be very different. So that's, we allow that position to remain to some degree, to where it doesn't become overtly impersonal. But actually, in that we control the material endeavor for rasa, but we also negate the spiritual. That's the problem. You know? So the idea is control the material because it's the wrong application of rasa, and try to cultivate and develop the spiritual, which is the proper. Therefore, the association of Vaishnavs taking prasad, the service of prasad, this dadati pratigrinati guhya makiti prichate bunte bojayate chaiva. But what do? We try to reduce it from making arrangements, you know, appropriate for the persons that are there, sitting them down nicely in lines like Krishna eats, you know, bosi sadi sadi, like that. And we're sorry if somebody doesn't agree with that. So then they're there, you come along, nicely serve them accordingly, everything that goes together, see that they're satisfied. After they're satisfied, then you sit and eat. But that's a lot of trouble. Why? Because it takes a lot of dharma, it takes rasa to do. It's not a matter of efficiency, just getting the food out. You want to do that, check out, you know, Charlie Chaplin's Modern Times. They made a machine for feeding their workers, like that. So if that's what you're trying to do, great. But then the point is, you know, actually how good of a robot are you? So what we like to do, therefore, is then turn it into something else. You have your, you know, ghee buckets there, you know, with the prasad in it, with a spoon sticking out of it. And whenever you like to eat, whatever you like to eat, you just come and put it on your plate and go sit down. Right? That's what we like to turn it into. Why? Because it's efficient. Efficient for what? Just getting something done of observable result. Where is the taste? Where is the rasa? Doesn't exist. Yeah.
I'm wondering about that. Written in Bhagavatam that we have this Vyasadeva who control the consciousness, Sankarshan control the ego, and Pradyumna control the intelligence, and Anuruddha the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it's separated. So I've heard that when we are clean enough and go back to the spiritual world, then it's not separated. Then it's the one, you know, inside the soul. So what is that? Can we understand that this, we go back to the first expansion, like Balaram take care of all the different things, intelligence, mind, so on, and this is the second portal expansion or the first portal expansion who control our consciousness, ego, intelligence, and mind.
I mean, there's a connection between these two. The see, as we're here, as we're dealing specifically on the mind, so you're dealing with Aniruddha. But the point is the mind is just one of the aspects of the field of activity. So that's Sankarshan. Sankarshan is the field. What is the field? How it relates to each other? You're Sambandhagyan. But to get to Aniruddha, the mind, which is the attachment, then there must be an attraction. That's Prajumna. So when within Sambandha there's attraction for the elements of the field, then that moves forward to a need for the results of operating that field. Then there'll be the operation of the field, that's Vasudeva. We make the distinction here because we're trying to distinguish between the kinds of attraction, attachment, and activities and identity that we have. So that's why if you change the identity or the Sankarshan aspect, you change the field, the approach to the field. The field's the same, but if I'm the controller and enjoyer of this field, then my attraction to that field is going to be as a controller and enjoyer. If I am servant of Krishna, that's my identity in Sankarshan, then my attraction to the field in Prajumna is going to be different. So therefore the result, instead of being my pleasure, is going to be Krishna's pleasure. So the performance of the activity will be spiritual instead of material. Right. Does that make sense?
But is it the second portal expansion who will take care of...
Is Sankarshan going to take care of everything?
Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
When you say second, who you're saying
the,
calling
the second?
There's
a first portal expansion of Narayan, Vyasadeva, Sankarshan, Padmanabha, Aniruddha, and there's the first and the second portal expansion.
No, but who are you calling the first, who are you calling the second?
Yeah, that. But I'm...
But. You're saying the second or the first. Who is the first, who is the second?
Yeah, the second, is that the control of our mind, or is it the first portal?
No, no, the point is who are you talking about? We want a name.
Yeah,
means you're saying the first or second expansion, but in which... perspective are you talking about first or second?
From the spiritual world, it's
okay, go ahead.
Only I'm interested in who is the controller of that, or they have their own...
No, but you have to have some names here. We're dealing with people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Are you taking of 1, 2, 3, 1, 2 here, I mean you're taking out of the four, the Chakravyuha, that Vasudeva's first, then Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, or you're taking it that Sankarshan's first, then Prajumna, Aniruddha, and then Vasudeva. How are you taking this? Or are you taking it, you know, Balaram's first, then Mahanarayan second, and then, you know, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha third? How are you... Because you keep saying first and second, who's in control, but what first, what second? You know, are you talking about first base? You know, are we talking about the Yankees? Are we talking about the boys, you know, found a girl? We're talking about, you know, what are we talking about?
It's maybe me who's confused. But
okay, no, but when you're not, I mean, the point is it's such a specific question, you have to be able to deal with the field.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you no, just in other words, if you're based on that verse, go back to that verse, and then ask again on Thursday.
Okay.
Because otherwise I can't answer because there's so many platforms you could take to start counting from.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So then we'll just leave that and continue. Is it in relation to his question as rasa or?
It's in relation from yesterday's class.
Oh yes, but I'm still dealing with his on that. Then we'll come to yours. Means so then in here is that see we have to be able to deal with the two things at once. The element that the only real meaning of anything or goal of anything is to establish or connect everything with Krishna. And if it's connected with Krishna, it's perfect. If it's not connected with Krishna, basically it's useless. Like that. So that, with and that coupled with that, therefore means all we're changing is its connection to Krishna. We're not changing what we're dealing with. Right? Spiritual doesn't mean you change the field. Spiritual means you change the perception of the field. Right? Naturally, with that, once you change that, that starts to adjust your field. But the change in the field is the change in the consciousness. Right? That's the important thing. That's what we're saying. You're dealing with the mind. The mind works in the same way in the spiritual material world. The difference is when it's contemplating spiritual activities and, you know, and objects for Krishna's satisfaction, then it's called the spiritual mind. When it's contemplating material objects for our own sense gratification, that's called the material mind. But the function of mind is the same. The function of intelligence is the same. The functions of the ego is the same. The functions of the senses are the same. You know, we're the same person. Right? Just your how you perceive yourself changes, but you as the person doesn't change. You understand? The soul doesn't change. When you go back to Godhead, you're not a different soul. You're the same one. All you've done is change the perception. So therefore, what we're trying to do is change from material absorption to spiritual absorption. So to do that, we make a control or a restriction in the material for the purpose of guiding it to the spiritual, not for stopping action, not for stopping thinking, feeling, and willing, but to redirect it. The idea that I'm going to stop it or get rid of it, that's impersonal or void. You're redirecting it. Somebody has some money. They're spending it on drugs and alcohol and nonsense. So you don't have to get rid of money. You have to get rid of how he spends his money. And now spend it for good work. Does that make sense? He's cooking, but he's cooking nonsense. So you don't get rid of cooking. You get rid of what he's cooking. He cooks something now that's not nonsense. Does that make sense? You know, he's seeing, he's in the temple, he's just checking out the girls. That's not correct. Then so you don't take out his eyes, you adjust it so he's looking at the deities. Does that make sense? Finally found a practical example. All these days, all this esoteric. So, does this make sense, what we're doing? So the restriction is not because the restriction is the Krishna consciousness, or the restriction is actually what's the good thing. No, the restriction is good because it's useful to get us to Krishna. Otherwise, it doesn't stand on its own. That's why we will, as devotees, we, you know, use economics properly, we're just, we're very moral. But if you make your stand and say, that is Krishna consciousness, then we will say, this is nonsense, it's bogus. Right? Even if you take mundane dharma, devotees are religious, they follow varnashram, they follow all the etiquettes and duties. But if you take it that I am this and this is perfection, then we will say this is nonsense. Right? The devotee is purifying himself for what purpose? To get out of the material world. Why does he want to get out of the material? So he can develop love of Godhead. Right? It means if you're in material consciousness, hard to develop love of God. You're free from material consciousness, very easy to develop. But if we identify that getting out of the material world and liberation is very important, and that takes precedence, then we'll say that's nonsense.
Maharaj, when Krishna says Sarva Dhammam Paritya and all that, could you please elaborate on the final elements, difficulty or danger of prematurely giving up the principle of Bhakti.
Oh, the principle. Well, here is okay. That's coming up. So we can see is that this is the Achinta Veda Veda Tattva aspects. You're using it at the same time. Is that's not what's important. We're using all the material facilities and all that, but that's not actually what's important. What's important is the love for Krishna. But it's being used as a medium for expressing that love. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that's the idea, is that we can make this distinction. Then what I can see is that within, just as in the spiritual world, you have gradations of rasa. You know, based on that surrender, right? Why is Dwarka is considered better than Vaikuntha, right? It's actually, when we say Vaikuntha, we mean Dwarka on down, right? So in Vaikuntha, then you're dealing with rules are prominent, right? But why are rules prominent? Because we like rules. We're comfortable with expression through rules, right? So it's a consideration of ourselves. The elements of liberation are prominent. Well, not that prominent, but compared to us, they're there. They exist. You like being on the same planet, or being the same form, the same opulence, or being a close associate. It pleases you, right? So Mathura is better than that, because the rules are starting to become not the prominent element. And the other aspects are becoming more, you know, the bhava is much stronger. Does that make sense? And then Braj, the rules are simply in support of rasa, right? And one isn't interested in one's own happiness at all. You're only interested in Krishna. That's your happiness, right? So the element of surrender, of sacrifice, that's what makes it go forward, right? So the same thing works here. Is to that degree that you're doing it because of your own motivation, your own needs, that's lower. The more you're doing it for someone else's satisfaction, that's better. But of that someone else, if it's that someone else is Krishna, that's the best. Right? Does that make sense? So connecting it to Krishna, that's good. Like we mentioned yesterday, we're given the example of that, you know, the alcoholic, the wino and his alcohol. He connects it to Krishna. But still, the whole process and why he's involved in that is all about himself. It's got nothing to do with Krishna. His approach, why he's drinking wine, has nothing to do with Krishna. But he's able to, by direction, see Krishna in it. So it's a step forward. But it's still all about himself. So then he's got to bring it to the point of that, no. He moves it to the point where it's not about himself. It's sacrifice. So therefore, he gives up that platform, which is just all about himself, and then moves to a platform where it's all about devotees. You know, all about Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So seeing Krishna in it is the first step. Taking it further in the element of sacrifice, that's why we said, is pointed out Krishna's everything. Within that, Krishna is interacting with his energies. Within that, then, his energies and him are interacting based on the platform of sacrifice. We can connect to that. So the first thing is you're dealing with Krishna on the Brahman level. Then you're seeing the interaction and all that. Okay, that's, you know, better level of that. And then we see how the Lord's involved. He's controlling all this, making the arrangements. That's Paramatma. But where's the service? That you've seen it and connected to Krishna, that's better. Because it's pure, but it's still only appreciation. It's still just Shantaras. Right? And the Acharyas, basically, when they're being very strict in definition, they don't count Shantaras as bhakti. You know? It's supportive of, is in connection with. But for the jiva, it's not taken as a position of rasa. Because the point is the internal potency expands. Plenty of trees and cows and grass and everything else. We don't necessarily need another one. I'm saying that's easy enough. The Sandini potency, existence potency, is already doing that. What we're looking for is jivas, you know, in the higher rasas. Right? Does that make sense? So this is the, does that answer your question then? On the, it's the same principle, is that we're taking it a step by step forward. Right? And so it's the same principle, it's the same formulas of taking it from yourself, connecting it to Krishna, and then making it more and more favorable for Krishna. Like that. So that will then bring about the process of connecting it to Krishna, that will bring about the liberation. But the element of sacrifice and doing it for Krishna's pleasure, that will develop devotion or bhakti.
What about Maharaj, when the conception of Krishna consciousness is foreign to me? I am, since time immemorial, in the material world, my mind is more inclined. Actually, the mind is there, but I still have to control my mind. Intellectually, I have to seek all the details about this Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, why am I going to surrender the most precious thing that I have? It's my individuality and my faith, which is the, although I have faith in so many other things, but still I have to check out this faith. How I see with the eyes of intelligence, do I need to know all this?
Do you need to know these
this
things?
This is the question.
I mean, these technical things, or like, do we need to know them? It's basically, it's down to the individual. It means the principles of it, yes, we have to know, because otherwise we'll go on the illusion that I'm God, and I'm the controller and enjoyer. So it, at one point, the stark reality that someone else has already taken the position long ago, and, you know, nobody's putting up any advertisements for, you know, help, you know, God needed, you know, like that, you know, inquire inside, right? You know, so there's no scope for that, but so... That much we have to know. How technical, that depends upon us. It's just like, how many chapatis should one eat? You know, is there a set amount? Is there, you know, that will be individual. So how much one needs to know to actually deal with the material energy so the body, mind, and words are engaged, that's how much one should know, how technical it should be. So, yeah. So here we're presenting more technical, just so that it's aware of what is available. Otherwise, there's the tendency to think our philosophy is very simple and nice and, you know, but not very practical. But, so, this exercise and this kind of intellectualism here is to show that what Krishna consciousness has to offer is way beyond what anybody else in the conditioned state, or even in the Vedic state, you know, or, you know, even within the technical, within the Vaishnava state, has to offer. So that way, then, it develops faith. And at the same time, shows technique, how one can appropriately connect oneself to Krishna. You know, because, in other words, there's a maturity that is desired, that one will be able to take this knowledge and in an appropriate way look at oneself, because it's called self-realization. So one has to be able to see that, yes, I'm not God. How am I not God? Or how is it that I know I'm not God, but I still act as if I am, or think that I am in very subtle or subconscious ways? You know, so in other words, my realization or my devotion is mixed. So how to identify what's real and encourage that, develop that, and what's not real, and get rid of that. Otherwise, oh, I'm such a nonsense, and then give up Krishna consciousness. I heard someone the other day, it's because they weren't able to practice nicely. I forget what it was. Maybe they couldn't follow all the principles or something. So then they decided, I'm not qualified to chant Hare Krishna. Right? So they're missing the point of, Lord Chaitanya says there's no rules when it comes to this. You should be chanting. So then they just make it worse. Out of some sentiment, out of the concept of morality, out of the presence of, you know, my qualification, and like this. So it's nice that they see I'm in a fallen position. That's good, that's progressive. But to have come to the conclusion, therefore I'm unqualified to chant, to do any service, or come to the temple, or be with devotees, that's wrong. So, in other words, part of it's good, but part of it's not. So that part that's good, they have to cultivate. You know, I'm a sadhaka, I'm not doing so good, but I still practice by chanting. I may not put myself in a particular position or one that requires the purity, but it doesn't mean I don't follow the process of chanting. Does that make sense?
Then therefore I have to submit to this brainwashing process.
Yes, the brainwashing process is the brain is dirty, so it needs to be washed. Because we don't, the brain is absorbed in so many inferior things that it doesn't actually able to see. In other words, you have to turn around. If I have my back to, you know, real understanding and knowledge and I'm absorbed in things, I have to be turned around. So I have to be convinced that there's something back there.
How I know by my intellectual analysis that actually I'm not getting into the wrong path?
How do I know?
Myself?
That is by contemplation, by seeing, observing. One is not saying to blindly just jump in. That's why example of the acharyas, that's what, it's like the first, after we've established Krishna as the Supreme Person and the process of devotion as the supreme process, and chanting the holy name is the best accomplishment of this process, developing love of God is the goal, then we explain, we've established this. Now, that's going to be based on authority. Authority is the Vedas. Up to this point, the essence of the Vedas that has been given by Vyasadeva is the Mahabharata. Right? Up to this point. So, then Narad Muni comes and says, this is very nice, it gives all the essence as far as the mundane knowledge goes, the practical knowledge goes, but the Krishna conscious element is so hidden. You know, because you have 100,000 verses, of that 25,000 is actually the main story about the Pandavas. And within that, you know, some verses are dealing actually with Pandavas and Krishna pointing out how he's the Supreme Lord. So that means the verses are overwhelmed. Right? Gita, you know, is about self-realization, about Krishna. Because the whole book's about like that. Bhagavatam, it's obvious. But Mahabharata, for us it will be, but for others it's not. So he's pointing out as the essential scripture, it's not actually going to do what you want it to. Now, then, having done that in two chapters, then what's the first chapter? What's the first story? And what do we walk into? Everything else, you have this nice background and everything like this and leading up and all this. Bang, you have Uttara running to the Lord and saying, protect the child in my womb. You know, because there's an atomic bomb going off in my stomach here. So immediately you have protection. You know, potion, protection, nourishment, all these different things. Because why is it that we would, why do we have faith in something? Because we think I will be protected and nourished by this. It will help me. It will be good. It's supportive to me. So the first thing you have to establish is Krishna is the one who can actually do, right? Because if there's any material thing, you know, having your own, you know, personal private nuclear explosion, you know, you couldn't probably get worse than that around here, you know. So, you know, here is then the Lord is taking care, he's protecting. So it's immediately that, you know, you'll just walk in on this shock of this situation that Krishna is going to protect. And then we see Krishna's always there, you know, with Bijan. Then he goes into Mathura. Everybody comes out. He's the all-attractive person. You know, everybody likes him, right? You see in all these things that goes in, it'll mention something that the prominent citizens are there. But where does it generally get into detail of how much the person is very much attractive? The ones on the roof. It means goes very much detail in how the women are attracted. Because if the women are attracted to it, it must be good. Right? You want to sell a resort, that this is a great place. You just have a guy down there at the bar, you know, with his buddies, and then another shot of him out, you know, teeing up at the golf, and then that's it, and then you buy your ticket. No, you have to have smiling ladies there in the spa and, you know, sitting there with great laughing with their drinks in a nice environment and everything like that. And then you go, here's enjoyment. If the ladies like it, it must be good. Right? So here now you go is all these ladies are going gaga over this guy, so he must be something special. Right? He's protecting in the most difficult situations, everybody likes him. Right? Then, you know, he is the ultimate goal. Bhishma Dev tells how all dharma is actually ending in Krishna. Right? So the first canto is just establishing that you have the faith that Krishna is what it is we're supposed to obtain. Then with the actual teaching of Sukadeva starts in the second canto, where he starts with all this real technical, you know, esoteric Brahman level of understanding. And then from there we go take that Brahman and go right into Devahuti's and Kardama's bedroom. You know, that's where we first apply the Brahman understanding. You know, so that no one will say, oh, that's okay, but, you know, then I got my life. You know, it's like, you know, okay, try their life. You know, how's your life compared to theirs? You got flying castles? You know, you want to have kids? Your husband expands into 9 forms? Hey, okay, then, like that. So, you know, you can't get more, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but I want to be more specific also, because this is all about particular analysis also. You're making all these descriptions in a very scientific way. I can see I'm beginning to kind of.
Okay, kind of. Making progress here.
This thing, you know, Adoshara Sangha, Adoshara Sangha, Vajana Kriya, Nata, and so forth, which is part of the formula that you guys have. The idea is that still I understand, and I intellectually accept, because it's obvious that so many people who really look very intelligent are following this. And at least, but this is my problem, because
Sadhu
Sangha, you know, I had to. How to discriminate? And actually, my mind like to associate not just with the most strict. And like, you know, I had to balance how I can develop this power of discrimination. That, you know, allow me that my mind.
Well, how do you develop power of discrimination?
Because my taste, going to the other aspect, my taste is nice, but it's still, I also read this kind of thing that Christians say there are 4 kinds of people approach a beginning. Mm-hmm. There is a 5th person in the talk, which is Arjuna, mm-hmm. which is the devotee. But then can you please elaborate? I mean, in the sense, because this is all about the mind. So every one of us has a different mind. I want material improvement.
It's the same substance. The mind is the same substance. Just like, you know, everybody, all the ladies have their own gold, but it's still the same quality from the same source. It's still the same element. So the mind is one element. That's why we can deal with it in a common platform. And speak in such a way that everybody can understand, because the mind is one entity. So in this, okay, so this is the technique that's gone through. Basically, is by association of devotees, one develops a taste. One is intellectually convinced, but one practically sees. You know, one has some kind of experience that actually works for them and attracts their mind. Because until the mind is attracted, there is no action. So there's some attraction there in that faith, or that you take up the faith, and then more that you take up Sadhu Sangha. Something is more there, you take up Vajana Kriya, because you want to be like them. They take up more than Anartha Nivriti. So it just keeps, there's more and more. Until you, so, but that is very steady and very, how you'd say, not elaborate, but very, you know, step by step, just one after another. It's very, it's more systematic, because it's more based on the intellect. Once you get to, it means that starts to neutralize it at nishta, because then the Bhajana Kriya is stable, is steady. But it becomes dynamic at ruchi, because then the taste becomes the prominent element, rather than the faith or the association or the trying to give up or being steady, because all these things are nice. But when you get the taste, then it's directly, you have that taste for the name, for Krishna, for that association of devotees, for the process. Then the example is given, it's like clearing away dry leaves, like a storm blows, you know, away leaves on the ground. So it's not just going out and picking them up one by one, or, you know, sweeping them up in a little bit of pot. This is a storm. It just blows them away so quickly. So at that time, then it becomes very dynamic. So until that, then it's very step by step, very systematic, much more intellectual. So that up to that point, the intellectual aspect is important because the mind hasn't gotten necessarily enough taste to move forward at the dynamic rate, because action is dependent upon the mind having the desire for that action. You know, so that's why ultimately, is you want love of God, that's what it takes to get it. Right? That it's not some other trick. You want it. You know, it's just like, oh, I'm so content, how do I purify? You have to want to be purified. Oh, I want to be situated nicely in devotional service, how do I do it? You have to want it. Because all action is based on the desire for it, or need for it. So if it hasn't come to, the action hasn't started, means it's still on the platform of desire. You're attracted to it. The prajumna element is there. You're attracted, but it hasn't come, the contemplation isn't enough. Therefore, it hasn't become attached. As Krishna says, you contemplate something long enough, you get attached to it. So you contemplate Krishna consciousness, chanting, doing service, you know, developing love for Krishna long enough, you become attached to it. So the process works in the same way. So it's a matter of, so intellectually, then we have to try to convince the mind that this is good and try to get the mind to contemplate it. And so the more we contemplate, the more we become attracted to it, then attached to it. Once we're attached, then we will act. So to the degree of attachment, or the kind of attachment, that's what we'll endeavor for. So then you know, it becomes very practical. So it's still the same process. But because it's connected to Krishna, it's progressive. That's called devotional service. That same process not being used in connection to Krishna, that's called material life, material entanglement.
I have a last question. How do I join the Guru?
How do you join the Guru? Well, you have two processes. Well, you probably have three. One is that you take the, you know, whatever is there in the, what we have in the studies in that, and then, you know, study that and involve yourself in all that, and in that case, you then need to talk to Shanti Parayan. The other is, if you want to, you know, how you say, the physical aspect, you have to talk to Madhav Gauranga. But it will have limited effect. If you want to have full effect, then you have to take birth in the family of devotees. And then, you know, hopefully they will, you know, decide to walk over here and stick you in the school here. But, you know, like that. So, you know, many options are there. Is it yours is on this point, or is it on this? Because yours is a different point, no?
From yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
It feels like that the intelligence is in the service to mind, like supplying information to the mind. You said, I always thought the intelligence was higher. Maybe I missed.
No, intelligence is higher than the mind. That means, so you can be in two positions. You can be in control of the mind, or it can be subservient to the mind. So when it's controlling means it's progressive. Ultimately, the subtle body basically means the mind. And within that aspect, you have subdivisions of intelligence and false ego. Does that make sense? Because that's practical. It means the three separate, entities. Three separate, ingredients. Right? Elements. But the point is the intelligence, all it does is distinguish between one thing and another or find the commonality. It only does those two things. Like that? You know, I think in the second canto it gives the five aspects of it, but in the practical working, that's all it does. Memory is part of it, gratefulness is part of it. That's why someone's intelligent, they're grateful. If they're not grateful, means they're not intelligent. Like that. So it gives second canto, one purport probably talks about that, these five aspects of the intelligence. So, but in practical working, what it does is it notices the commonality and notices the difference. Well, you have to see the differences first to see the commonality. So that's what it does, but it makes no decision. The mind makes a decision. So even if the intelligence is controlling the mind, that means the mind has understood that this is a good position to be in. So the mind has accepted that an intelligent decision is what it's going to choose, because the mind accepts and rejects. So that's why the mind is the central feature. It's the kingpin in this whole thing. Right? Because Prabhupada could have said, you know, connecting to Prajumna, connecting to Vasu, connecting to Aniruddha. I mean, Sankarsha. He says connecting to Aniruddha. Because if the mind accepts, then everybody else comes along with it. If the mind accepts, then you start looking at the field, right? If you take up devotional service, then if we're looking at it from the logical point of view, we take up devotional service, what's the first thing we do in surrender? Right? Accept those things are favorable, reject what's unfavorable. That's the field, that's Sankarsha. Right? Then the next stage is, then we will see Krishna as my maintainer and protector. Right? So that will be in the realm of action. Right? That's your abhideya. The first one's your sambandha. Then the final stage will be identifying as a devotee and having that devotional attitude. So that's your prayojana. Right? So that's a logical step that will go through. But for that to have happened, so it's always explained in this order, because that's the practical order it does. But actually, behind the scenes, we see Bhaktivinoda Thakur doesn't start there. He starts with first identifying as a devotee. He starts with the fifth item. When the fifth item is there, then you can become meek and humble, because I'm not God anymore, so now I can afford to be humble. Right? If I'm God, I have to have an attitude. Right? But if I'm not God, I can be humble. So if I'm meek and humble and identify as Krishna, then only I will take up the process and accept what's favorable and reject what's unfavorable. So that becomes actually the process. So one is you're establishing identity, that's the process, and then you end up as your final, your goal is that you see Krishna as the protector and maintainer, and so you just live in that environment. You understand? So it all goes back to the mind.
Yes, they give an example of the computer.
Of the computer.
Yeah. And different levels, like you can just use as service to Krishna, and then you go down in different levels, and then you can see, okay, Krishna is this computer, and then Lakshmi is the energy making work.
Yes.
So the question is, when you go up, what happens to that Lakshmi, the energy principle? Does that mean you see everything, and that's all just energy?
As you progress through. See, it just depends upon where your focus and your consciousness is. So how narrow or broad it is, that's where you apply it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, if I am saying, I'm going to cook, and I walk into the kitchen, and my eyes spot some Maggi noodles. Right? And so, therefore, that's all that I'm going to deal with. So in that, I have to see, okay, Here's the noodles, okay, that needs a pot, we need a fire, we need some water, we need a spoon, like that, and, you know, depending upon whether you're a bachelor or not, you may even take it to the point of a plate, you know, something like this. So you make adjustments here. And so that's all you see. And so you apply the process of, okay, here are the elements, the process is water gets, you know, pots, water in pot, it gets put on the fire, noodles go in the water, you know, we boil it for a certain amount of time, depending on our expertise, and, you know, uncooked, completely soggy, or maybe okay. And so, and then, you know, what are we going to do with it after that, you know? And so, then we go through the whole process, that's all we see. Now, if we come into the kitchen, we see a broad range of ingredients. The same process is going to be applied, but we're using a bigger field. Does that make sense? So now we have to include the potatoes and the cauliflowers and all the different spices and all these different things. Does that make sense? So we're using the same principle. So if the computer itself is the all-in-all and its mechanics and we get right into how it all works, then we'll apply the principle on that. Therefore, the form of it, the mechanics of it, that's Lakshmi. And that the computer is, it can compute, that's Krishna.
You know what I'm saying? The form is Lakshmi?
The form is Lakshmi, yes. Because what is the support of the form? Why is the form there? Because it does something, right? Why doesn't the computer look like a Mercedes-Benz? Why does a Mercedes look like a Mercedes-Benz and not look like, let's say, a yo-yo?
The function.
Because there's a specific thing you're trying to accomplish. So the actual support of the computer is its, you know, computation abilities. So therefore, that form is manifest to accomplish that. So So in this way, then it's you can also do it in other ways. That then it means you can take it and flip it, and that the form and all that, that's Krishna, because that's the support, and then the activities that it does is Lakshmi. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, depending upon which one you're looking at, you can move it around. That's why this is all seemingly confusing. Because you can take the same thing and looking at it from many ways. We like it just was only one way to look at it. The guy's good, he's bad. That's it. We know there can't be anything in between. He's a bad guy, but, you know, he really deals nicely with his mother. You know, that we can't handle. You know, he's got to be bad, rotten, and we don't, you know, like that.
That's the mental platform, accept or
reject. Yeah, it's just accepting or rejecting. So then if that's all it is, now if you're taking it bigger, okay, then I have a service. I'm trying to accomplish something in a service. It's not just my interest in computers. It's service. So therefore, then, my service becomes the active, the support. And then the computer becomes the element through which that's accomplished. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Or the environment in which I'm in going to perform the service is the masculine principle, and doing the service is the feminine principle. But it's just, you would just expand and contract according to your field of, what is your field? So that's why all these things have to be discussed as principles, because each person's field and breadth of the field is different. You know, it's like you have, in an orchestra, you have somebody who just sees his instrument. You know? And so they're going to be a good musician, but they're going to be a better musician if they see their instrument in connection with the whole. You know what I'm saying? Because then they know how they fit in, so they'll know how, you know, loudly or softly or what mood to put into it, because they understand how it fits in. Otherwise, they just try to show off their instrument. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you have a team, they all know what to do. You have a room full of kids, each one's trying to be the center of attention. You know, it's cute, but it doesn't get anywhere. You know, like that. So does that make sense?
So the feminine masculine is always there.
The feminine masculine is always there, but because they're unlimited, there's also so many ways to look at it.
So even on the higher levels, like you said, the first thing is basically like brahmacharya, like, you know, just fully just engaging in service and some service during the day. So there's, but you also see Krishna's stuff.
Yes, you see Krishna, because you're doing it for Krishna. Yeah, so you're in the feminine principle is that you're doing rendering service too, because the external manifestation, that's the Lakshmi element. So we're an element in the field of service to Krishna.
So the higher, then we see ourselves as the energy.
We see as a support to the energy. We are never the energy. The energy is always is Lakshmi. We're assistant to her.
So like that. We become in tune with the energy.
Yes, we become in tune with that. Yeah. You know, it's just like on theirs, your hands become, because they're
control and they can fit in a sense.
Yeah, no, you're assisting by pushing the key, that then does something on the computer, which then gets done what you want to do. Yeah. So having gotten done what you want to do, that's the result, that's the masculine element. That to get that was the feminine element to get it. So in every state, in Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan, there's a masculine and feminine principle simultaneously. You can take it that Sambandha is primarily masculine, and Prayojan is primarily, feminine. And then the combination of those two to come together, that's the Abhideya. So that's Rasa. You can take that overall. But within the Sambandha, you have the masculine and feminine elements. Within the Abhideya, that masculine and feminine. It means you have the action itself that creates the result, but then you have the experience that is gained while generating. That's the feminine. The masculine is get the result. The feminine is experience. Right? So, as Prayojana, you have that result. You can see it, but then there's the experience of having it. You know what I'm saying? You have the field. It's there. It exists. But that feeling of safety, of that's feminine. You know what I'm saying? So this is where you understand this. This is how relationships work. The man is saying, I got the result, therefore I'm successful. But if the experience isn't good for the woman, she says it's useless. And you go, what do you mean? I think very valuable. You know, I worked very hard for that. Yeah, but she got nothing out of it. So therefore, you know, and she feels no security. So there's nothing in the whole relation, sambandha videya prayojana, that has anything to do with her. Therefore, it's all about you. You know, and your buddies will tell you you're doing great. And that's the best part. You know, it's called blind men leading the blind, right? Or in this case, idiots leading the idiots. Is that okay? So it's just a matter of, that's why these particular kind of classes seemingly are so esoteric, because each individual is going to be different. Right? We could say everybody chant 16 rounds, follow four regulative principles. That works for everybody. So it's very straightforward. But when you get into these things of the mind, the senses, the needs, you know, the desires, that each person is unique to the next. So you have to explain the concepts that will be able to be useful by everybody, and give an example now and again that hits home, you know, which doesn't always happen. You know, you talk about cooking, a few people catch that and things else. Today we caught one everybody related to. You know, like that. So therefore, that's the difficulty with this, is you're dealing with something that everybody can use. But how they'll use it, the formula is the same, but its application in the field you're using it in will be different. That's why it's seemingly, oh, it doesn't make sense. Oh, that's not practical. It's extremely practical, but you're dealing with something that has so universal an application that you have to try to find a way of presenting it that speaks on that universal platform. That's why many times when some come to these kind of classes, they can sit there for weeks and say, what is this guy talking about? You know, like that. And only after a long time then it makes sense and it works. And it works for everybody. You know. Is that okay? Yes.
Now, can you just inform all the students when the next stage of the seminar will be presented?
I think, because from what I understand, Saturday starts the parikram, that I would expect that Thursday, Friday we could have the classes. Then it would stop until, we have to look at, because I don't know what the calendar is. We'll figure that out, we'll let it be known, I guess, on Friday. That between the 6th and basically 10th, because Gaur Purnima, nothing's happening. Somewhere in there we'd have to see if there's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Fridays. You know, as long as, I think if Shantipur falls on one of those days, we'd lose that day. But basically, we would lose Gaur Purnima and Shantipur, you know, from the 6th to the 10th, like that. So if there's days there, then we'll continue there. And those means the ideal is we can go through the whole book, but I would rather go through how much we can and people understand it than just go through and not. So, you know. So like that. So we'll means on Thursday we'll progress forward. We'll start going forward with the next points. The book. This is Sahota Maharaj's Vedanta Psychology. You know. In other words, what happened is he started for his own need started studying the Western psychologists to see what is there. Then they couldn't give answers to very technical points. So studying all of them. Then he then started seeing that the elements they're dealing with, those are already in our philosophy. Then started studying those in the philosophy and found that our philosophy, you know, in the Vedanta Upanishads, that's all they're dealing with. It goes way, way deeper and all that. So therefore he put this book together. And now and again he'll quote from these other, you know, how you say, so-called psychologists. And then, you know, like that. So he's just presenting the Vedantic approach to the mind, which is the process of developing, of self-realization, realizing who you are and transferring the mind from material absorption attachment to absorption.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda ki. That's wild. It's a walking microphone.
Anybody wants to buy with that, the psychology book, they are available now.
Oh, they yeah, got presented. Oh, yeah, okay.
Where? Yeah. Here, right here. Behind the pillar. How much? How much?
Right, what is the good old price? Because we just broke it.
400?
They're selling them?
500?
Yeah, they're in the
store. I find the very, the
Take, take orders. Take orders. Reserve.
Take orders. You don't most people get 500 if you have a little less, give a little less.
Yeah.
Yeah.